This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek, back in the studio in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, still in the studio in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 9th, episode 1,100. What do I now say, 1,100? Did I get to say 1,100? It's brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by. It's good to be back. It's always fun to go away, but it's always good to be back, too, and in the studio again. And we both have had busy weekends to talk about a little later in the show. You were out showing and doing some fun stuff. You're selling horses and all kinds of things. And we were down in Wellington visiting with hosts we'd never met before. We had five hosts together. I posted a picture on our Facebook page. That's the first time we've had that many hosts together before. So that was a lot of fun. We had a great time. We'll talk more about that as the show goes on as well. And Jennifer's going to tell us what is coming up on today's show.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we open with the dynamic duo's recounting of weekend adventures, as we do every Monday. And then we'll have a chat with some Kiwis, a recorded interview Glenn did at Ada. And we have an auditor book review. And then several eyebrow-raising headlines and a list of two different lists to choose from to jumpstart our Monday. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And it's time for Daily News. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to Emily and Reese for showing us such great hospitality over the weekend. Emily was in her element, and of course, Emily hosts our jumping radio show here on Horses in the Morning once a month, and we did Friday's show live from the showgrounds there. It was a blast. We had a great time, and Emily had things planned all weekend. We'll talk more about that, and then Reese just was a great host, taking us out to dinner and showing us the places around Wellington, so that was a lot of fun as well. So thank you to both of you for making it a very, very fun weekend.
Well, I'm so excited to hear about it because it sounds like it was so much fun, and Reese is such a super nice person, and Emily is just as cute as can be, so I'm sure you had a really good time. My daily Winnie, though, goes out to, I gotta say it, Shared Belief.
Mike Smith puts a bullet through your heart again.
I know. I don't want to talk about him. I'm going to pretend he didn't ride the horse. That's the problem. That horse is so awesome. I mean, okay, so for those who don't know, the San Antonio Stakes where it happened this past weekend on Saturday evening at Santa Anita, and California Chrome and Shared Belief were head-to-head back in action after the Breeders' Cup Classic last fall. I got to see them both there, and Shared Belief was the favorite then, but got mugged at the start and ended up coming back to fourth, and California Chrome finished in third. So it's kind of a really cool rivalry that they've got going on. And I think it's going to be a great year of racing with these two horses. They're not going to meet next race, but I think it's going to be a year of kind of like the affirmed Aladar. Who's going to win? Who's going to be in front? So I think it's going to be exciting. But we have the race for you if you didn't get to see it. And here it is.
They're all set. And away they go. And Shared Belief got a beautiful break. California Chrome those out quickly, and California Chrome now taken on by Alpha Bird. And as expected, Alpha Bird will sprint away to lead them early. Ryder takes a strong hold of him. California Chrome second. Shared Beliefs move to the outside of California Chrome now. And those two nose and nose right after the start. California Chrome, in fact, going to go looking for the lead with Alpha Bird on his inside. And Shared Belief right there in a beautiful spot in third. Then back to Bronzo, Opportunity, Clubhouse Ride, Imperative in behind that. You Know I Know. And last of all is Tenito M. On to the backstretch they go. Still a long shot. Alpha Bird shows the way now by just under two. California Chrome, Victor Espinosa got him on a long rein, very comfortable in second. Same could be said for Shared Belief, though. Comfortable in the third spot. He's 3.5 off them. Opportunity's ridden along on the inside. Then Clubhouse Ride. You Know I Know's alongside of that. Bronzo on the far side. Then Imperative. Tonito M is last. They've taken closer order as they go into the turn, and California Chrome wants to be let loose. And California Chrome telling Victor Espinosa, let me strut my stuff out here. He kicks for home. Opportunity comes to take him on. Shared Belief in the black cap on the outside. The three favorites dominated the top of the lane in the San Antonio. California Chrome, Shared Belief. Here's the race we've been waiting for. California Chrome digs deep. He finds more. Shared Belief is stretching him every yard of the way. What a thrill of this one is. Shared Belief has him. And Shared Belief just exuding class. Shared Belief, handwritten by Mike Smith, wins with his ears pricked. Shared Belief beat California Chrome.
Woo! I was watching it while you were playing that. That's so exciting. It was a really exciting race. I feel like, I mean, being the couch jockey that I am, the couch racehorse trainer, that they just, he did, Victor took California Chrome out just a little too soon. He started moving him up into that far turn where he kind of likes to be moved up out of the far turn, whether he was having trouble holding him, you know, who knows. But it was a really good race, and Shared Belief, man. Just, like you said, exudes class. That horse just was right there the whole time waiting, stalking, and then boom, gone. It was awesome. It was a great race. It was the two of them. I mean, there was nobody else in the field, really.
Well, I know you don't want to talk about Mike Smith, but he did say, I can't even describe that performance. He ranks right up there with the top five horses I've ever been on. So apparently Mike's pretty impressed with that horse, and he did just take it home. I did not think that, you know, when they were about – at the, you know, when they were rounded that turn, it just looked like it was California Chrome, and then
it just
came up. I mean, really, really strong horse. Now, California Chrome's heading to Dubai, but Shared Belief's staying here and going to do a race here, right? I think that's
what's
happening.
Yeah, he's doing the Santa Anita, the big cap, the Seabiscuit race, I like to call it, the Santa Anita handicap. So they're gonna move to different places, but they will meet again. They will meet again, and it will be good. I love a good rivalry in racing. Gosh, I love it.
God, wouldn't you like to see a match race again? How long has it been since we saw an official match race where they've hyped months? And you know that would be so cool. It never happened, I don't think, but it would be cool to do that again. It would be good for the sport.
Yeah, when was the last match race? I think we should start pushing for it. Let's start a Facebook page for a match race.
Match race. I think it would be good for sport. I really do. It'll never happen. But anyway, things are different now, I guess.
I bet California Chrome owners would do it. Oh, come on. They'd be like, let's do the match race. We'll chase down Shared Belief across the country on a train. We don't care. That's what you do in a match race,
too.
Right?
They
That's right.
Too.
You have to do a whistle-stop tour on the way.
Yeah, whistle-stop tour, stopping all along the way, make speeches and saying things they shouldn't. It would be perfect.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be awesome.
Be good for the sport. As I said, it'd be good for racing. Well, let's talk about you first. You were at a show over the weekend. First, you sold one of your horses, and it was a happy thing.
I did. You know, you guys know all my exciting adventures with my horse, Jet. And, you know,
I was looking back, Jamie. You got Jet right about the time we started the show, right? Wasn't it about the same time?
I've had him 5 years. I got him before, but I moved him home kind of right when we started the show.
So everybody that's been listening since day one has lived a Jet with you.
Yes, exactly. And I feel sorry for you guys. So, I've taken him all the way up through training level, and we've really learned that level of eventing really stresses him out. He just kind of like a ball of nerves and started getting stomach issues and stuff going to these horse trials. And, you know, he was fine, I think. I say he was fine, the beginner novice, but he was really stressed out then too. And I kind of just thought it was training, but it just kind of started to show me that he really wasn't as into the sport as I was. And that was what I promised myself a long time ago when I started taking horses off the track, was, you know, I'm going to do what they want to do. You can't force a horse to do something. You kind of take a horse off the track or a horse anywhere, a Mustang, whatever you're going to do, and you find what they're good at and what they enjoy, and you focus on that. And that was kind of a promise I made to the horses of my future, I guess. So I've started to realize that this horse is a hunter. So I started taking him some hunter shows, as you guys know, and he, oh my gosh, cleaned up. Like, he loved it. He would follow. This is my horse that would buck me off in the warm-up. Warm up, fall asleep at the end gate. Like, he loved it. So
he just needed that slower pace hunter thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the crazy warm up with people galloping by going, Alphas! You know, and hunters, they get stressed out too, but it's not as big. Like, there's nobody galloping in the hunters to go up to the fence and, you know, getting bucked off and airbags popping. Like, it was just too much for him. So I took him to a couple shows, and I had some interested parties. And so on Saturday afternoon, I was going to take him to go see two people at one of the local hunter shows wanted me to bring him up there and see him. So there's this girl that lives in my neighborhood that's been riding him for me, and she's a hunter rider, and she loves him. So on Wednesday, I said, hey, I've got to go show him to some people on Saturday. Do you want to go with me? And she's like, absolutely, let's go. And then Thursday, she comes to ride him. She's like, I said, so we're good. We're going to leave really early. She's like, about that. I've been talking to my husband. I say girl. You know, she's a woman. She's like, I've been talking to my husband, and I think we're going to buy him. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, we want to buy him, but can we keep him boarded here? I was like, yes and yes. Because that's my worst fear of selling a horse, is that you lose track of them and then they end up at an auction on a Saturday morning. And every horse I've ever sold, you know, I sell them every three horses I've ever sold. I tell them I'm going to have a farm forever. When he gets old or broken, you don't want him anymore, just send him back. I'll retire him for you. It'll be, you know, and so we've made that agreement, and she bought him. So I'm super excited. It's a perfect home. She's this, like, you know, 90-pound hunter rider, so his life is easy, and she knew everything about him. She's going to take really good care of him, and she boards him here, so I get to see him every day. It's win, 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 win all the way.
Well, from what I saw over the from what I saw over the weekend after watching some of the hunters in Wellington, he'll be fat and happy. So there.
Oh,
you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They don't
yeah,
like him skinny in the hunter ring, I learned over the weekend.
No, and she's like, no. He's going to go on trail rides tonight. And I guess her husband has PTSD. He's a former military guy. And so she's like, can he just come over and brush him? And I was like, you know what? He can come over and brush Duke. Let's not have him brush Jet.
He can brush anything he wants over here.
Brush anything else. Just don't brush Jet. Jet's the kind of, you brush him in the cross eyes and he tries to bite you. He's just a thin-skinned thoroughbred. I'm like, just brush anybody else. He can ride to everyone. I don't care. Just say, I don't want him to kick in, you know. So they're super happy. They're a great family. And
well,
I'm
congratulations.
Really,
that's great.
Thank
you know,
you.
When you're in the business like you are, the best situation you can have is to sell a horse and then they stay boarded with you. That's the perfect situation.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the business.
And that horse and I have been to battle together. So, you know, he'll always have a retirement home and I'll always take care of him. And it's perfect. It's just perfect. I don't have to ride him anymore. She can ride him, kick him around.
Yeah, that's right.
Too much work.
I don't see you wanting to do hunter shows for a long period of time either. So
I did too. And seriously, Chad was like, what? This is the most boring thing I've ever done. He's like, this is awful.
It's right up there with dressage.
Yeah.
It really is.
Exactly. But good on everybody who loves it. You know, I'm glad I rode hunters for, oh my gosh, my whole entire life growing up. But then you go to what I went to this past weekend, and you realize that there are other things out there that run a little more efficiently. And so I took Edward to a one-day horse trial. It was a schooling thing, but it's super fun. It's like a three-day event on speed. So you go and you do your dressage test, and I took my student who leases Joey, Abby, and so she took Joey to the pre-comp division, which is 2 foot, and then I did the Edward's first novice experience, which the fences are 3 foot. And so we went and you do your dressage test, then you go change. You go straight to show jumping, and from show jumping, you go straight up to the cross-country course. So really, you're riding for like an hour at a horse show, and they give you your ride times. So it's like, boom, 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 done. And Abby's always shown hunters. She's like, her mom was like, this is great. We're done. We've been here an hour. She's like, we usually go to these shows, and she doesn't ride till 5. I'm like, yeah, that's how it happens at hunter shows. You can't really time that. But anyway, so we get there, and you know, Abby did great, and then I had to take Edward into the dressage, and he was being Edward and being very nervous and very tense. But I would like for you to play that. Go ahead. Just play it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't want to be that girl, best girl, best girl. Because I was that girl, as I'm trying to warm up Edward, this little jerk, Joey, is standing in his stall. Winnie, he can see Edward. I mean, this place is not that big. Like, he's right next to the arenas in his little, like, day pen. And he's standing there, and he's whinnying at Edward, who every time Joey whinnies, Edward screams back at him.
There is nothing more annoying than the girl that has the screaming horse in warm-up.
And so I'm in a dressage ring, and this woman actually asked, she's like, do you mind just kind of going outside the dressage ring for a minute?
Do you mind putting your horse on the trailer and going home?
Yes. No, I don't mind. It's not my idea of fun.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Yep. So I'm trying to warm up. Joey's screaming. Edward's like, they're back and forth screaming the whole time. And you guys know that when they scream, other horses get tense and scream too. So I'm pissing off everybody in the entire area because my horse, and I'm like, Abby, go shut him up. Abby runs over. She's stuffing carrots in Joey's mouth trying to get him to shut up so I can at least do my dressage test. He's eating the carrots and spraying them everywhere as he's whinnying like crazy. Edward is like head up to the side. Oh my God, it was a nightmare. So I'm like, okay, next time we need to figure out something else. If we're going to take both these horses, I'm going to leave Joey in the trailer. I'm going to load him up and drive him out the front entrance, and then I'll be able to ride my horse. So yeah, I was that girl. Definitely that girl. And it was a exciting dressage test, to say the least. And I did get told, you know, because it's a schooling thing, the judge talks to you at the end. And she was like, well, I just think you need a little more relaxation. You think? Thanks for that one, judge. What am I, an idiot? Like, I don't know, my horse is a total rope of tension right now. So I'm like, well, that's why it's a schooling thing. So we were there.
Well, how'd it go? So you did dressage, but I saw pictures of the jumping. Looked like it went really well, the show jumping.
The show jumping went great. I started with I went out and did the show jumping course, and this was so close to dressage, and the screaming was still going on, and we had a mess of a show jump round, a mess of it. And so I think I had 4 rails down out of 8, you know. So it was not so successful, so they set it back up, and I was like, can I go again? And she was like, sure, go ahead. So I got back on it because it's schooling. I went and did the whole show jump course again, and I rode it more forward, and I like digged in, and I put my big girl pants on and kicked him through all his nonsense, and it worked out great. And then we went clean the second time.
Oh wow.
Of course, they don't count that one.
I didn't count that. No. 2 out of 3 doesn't work in the show.
And then, yeah, no. And then we ran out to cross country, and the what was exciting was the ditch became a sunken road for Edward. He did not understand that he was to jump over the ditch. He jumped into the ditch.
Oh!
And then ditch, which, of course, to me, as I'm cantering up to it, I did bring him back to a trot, and he just stepped right down in it. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? So as I was done with my cross-country course, I'm like, can I go jump that ditch again? They're like, go ahead. So I go kick around and jump the ditch again, and he jumped it. So it was not the most successful weekend. You know what? I like to think that I got a ribbon, not a letter, which is an E, usually elimination, or ride or fall. So I finished with a number. It doesn't matter how high that number was. And it doesn't matter that I got last place. I got somebody has to finish in last, Glenn.
That's right. And did you get the black ribbon for finishing last?
Well, they only had 6 in the division, so I went 6th. Yay! So
oh, you
like
got
a
like a greenish, purplish one. What color is 6 again?
I got a green. Yeah. And because it is schooling, you go up to the end and at the end, and you grab your and you get your scores and get your dressage test and get your ribbon. There, and so I was like, "Where are the ribbons?" She's like, "God, just grab one out of the box there." I was so tempted. I was so
did you
tempted.
Grab a blue.
I was so tempted. She's like, "Take whatever you got." I'm like, okay, and I'm like, it was like you know in The Ring, in Lord of the Rings, and he's like, "Precious." My precious, and the ring talks to him like, you need me. That blue ribbon was like, precious. But I didn't do it. I had a child with me. I couldn't just grab the blue, but it was tempting. And I walked off, and with my green ribbon, head held high because I finished, and it was his first novice. So we did it.
You know, I always thought it was ironic that in the United States, green means go, and we give a 6th-place ribbon that's green and usually means the horse didn't go. So I always thought that was funny. Well, good job. I mean, at least you survived. You came through. Your air vest did not pop, correct?
Correct. I did not deploy my air vest.
Okay, good. That's always a good thing when you don't deploy. We have a listener question, actually, about air vests we're going to get to later in the show. So, Caitlin, hold on there. We're going to get to your question a little bit later in the show. Well, this
now,
weekend we headed...
Are you suntanned and wealthy and well-fed?
Well, yeah, I wish. We went Thursday down to Wellington, and Friday morning, as everybody knows, we did our show with Emily from beside the arena. At the Winter Equestrian Festival there in Wellington, it was she set up, and the people down there were great. The people who handled the press tent, and they did a wonderful job. And they also got passes for us all to get into Saturday night's big show. All the different hosts that were there and their families, so that was wonderful too. They were great to us, and we had a fun time. We did the show, we watched some show jumping, and then Emily took us on a wild golf cart ride. You can tell she's from New York because she drives her golf cart like it. And this is her place. You know, Emily has been going to WEF to Wellington there since she was 13. So for 20 years, she's been there every season, and she just knows her way around. This place where the jumpers are and the hunters are is enormous. It is enormous. I mean, they have 21 tents, and I think she said each tent houses 60 horses. They have 21 of those tents. It is enormous.
Holy smokes.
They have 24 rings going all day long at the same time. 24 rings going at the same time. When you drive through, when you walk through there, there are horses and people and commotion everywhere. I mean, just everywhere. And of course, every ring has a warm-up ring. So now you've got about 40 rings going, right? So it is just enormous. I mean, there are people, and of course, every one of these people has people. So you've got all of the support people there with the people that are riding, with the riders, and it's just like a zoo. I mean, it was crazy.
Oh,
I could not do that every day. I think you have to grow up with that.
I have so many questions. How do you know what ring you're going to? How do you know where you're supposed to warm up?
I know.
And
she said, well, it's all in the chart. So it's just all, you go online to the little thing where you're supposed to be that day. But can you imagine the paperwork involved in all of this?
Oh, my God.
Get all
what
the
a nightmare. What?
So there was there were literally people, and I mean top riders in the outer rings, and you know, just bringing up the baby horses. The guy we interviewed, the Irish guy we interviewed Friday morning, whose name totally escapes me now, he has 52 horses in training, Jamie. 52 horses in training. So, and he has 20 people working for him. So that just gives you an idea of the size operations these people have. And then you go into Grand Prix Village. Now, off of this huge showground area with thousands of people and thousands of horses, you go through this little path. We were on the golf cart. We go down this little path, a bridle path, that the horses are coming in. And, oh, Shane Sweetum, that's right, who was on Friday. But you go into down this little path, and then you come to the barns. This is on showground property, but they're the exclusive farms with the very fancy barns, and it's called Grand Prix Village. And it's like the Goutals are in there, you know, the big names are in there, Bloomberg's, and they all have bought places in there. This is the place where this is the little community where Madonna bought her $32 million barn, is in this community. And the road goes in a circle around all of these very exclusive, very fancy farms. And that is what's called Grand Prix Village. And that's actually on the grounds of the showgrounds. It's considered on the grounds, but they all own in there. And it is just, you've not seen places like this. It's just incredible. The money that is in Wellington is unbelievable. There is money in horses somewhere.
No. There's money spent in horses. There is no money in horses.
There you go. Good call. There's money spent, and all by the owners that are there as well. But just incredible money. And the other thing that impressed me, and I posted a picture of this, is the hedges. There are these tall hedges that are everywhere, well-manicured hedges, just box hedges, everywhere, 20 feet tall in some places, 10 feet tall in others. Every farm is surrounded by hedges to keep privacy. And this is all throughout Wellington. Every farm is surrounded by these hedges. If you're a hedge trimmer in Wellington, you're doing all right. You got work forever. Just the hedges everywhere. It was incredible.
Not so hungry.
No. Just unbelievable, the money in Wellington. And so Friday night, we went out to dressage, and we saw a five-star freestyle dressage. It was their biggest show of the year, and it packed the place. They had a record crowd. It was kind of rainy and cold that night, so we stayed through most of it. And I probably watched 10 dressage rounds, so I was pretty proud of myself. And then we went Saturday night to a charity event back at Jumping, back at WEF, and they had a charity event they do every year for local charities. They gave away $1.5 million to 24 local charities. And the riders ride for charity, and they did a relay. We've never seen this before, where they have three riders, and they were all dressed up in superhero costumes, like Superman or Batgirl, and they were all dressed up in these costumes, which was very fun. But three of them go into the ring at the same time, and it's a relay. So the first guy jumps five jumps, the second guy jumps five jumps, the third guy jumps five jumps, and it's timed. It's for speed. So that was a super fun class to watch. I'd never seen that before. And then the winning team charity won $150,000. But
wow.
Every charity there, local charity in the Wellington area, got at least $25,000. So it's a big night. They've given away over $8 million to charities over the last 6 years in that event. So it was sponsored by Fidelity. So it's a good thing they do. It was a lot of fun. The place was packed. There was a lot of people there watching. And we just had a blast. It was the first time that Philip and Reese from Dressage Radio, Philip flew down from Canada with his wife, and we had Emily there from Jumping and Jennifer and I, and so it was the first time that all five of us have been together. I've never met Philip before. And we just had a good time, and Philip and Emily and Reese just got along great. I mean, they were just like they're now talking about, well, my horse isn't working out for dressage. Can you sell it for Jumping? And they're just working deals now. But
how fun.
It was a good time there. That was fun. And then Saturday we also took a ride over to – I needed a horse break. So we went down to Delray Beach, Florida, and took a cruise down the Intercoastal Waterway where all the very wealthy mansions are. And, again, there's a lot of money in this world. But the amazing part is most of these people don't even live in the mansions. They come down for a couple weeks, and that's it. And they have these $10 million mansions along the intercoastal waterway, you know, with the fancy pools and, you know, just the unbelievable houses. And the yacht sitting next to the house, taller than the three-story house. The yachts were just out of this world. And they said they'll spend 2 to 3 days a year on the yacht.
Wow.
I mean, I've asked Chad, I'm like, what do these people do? How do these people have this much money? You know, what do they do? But I also have a very important question for you regarding the horses down in Wellington.
Yes.
Did you see Vallegro, Charlotte Desjardins' horse?
No, we
Blueberry.
Did not. Charlotte was not riding when we were there. She did not ride that night.
Oh, I'd have to stalk him in the stall.
We did not even, I'm sure Charlotte was tucked away in one of those very fancy farms in Grand Prix Village or somewhere. You know, she was tucked away somewhere. And all of these places are gated. You cannot get in. I have to tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, listen, Glenn, places are
well,
gated.
Maybe you can get in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just depends on how initiated you are, okay?
We were down the cruise down the intercoastal, and the only place along here that there weren't these huge mansions, there was a preserve, and it was all wooded and everything, and there was a canal going behind the preserve, and the captain said, oh, that's where the very wealthy live, and it's all hidden, you can't see it from the road or the water, and he said, if you take your boat and try and enter either side of that canal, the entrance or the exit, you will be met by armed guards in a boat carrying assault rifles, and they will politely ask you to leave. And
good Lord, that's nothing. You can get by that.
Bernie Madoff lived there. Remember the guy from Enron who ended up in jail? That all the stories years ago. Well, he lived. His house was back in there, and then there was another guy.
He's used to guys with guns. Then
guns, yeah. He's used to be in prison. So it was an experience, that's for sure. I would not want to live in Wellington. It just, I don't know, I just didn't like, you know, I like our little laid-back atmosphere. It definitely did not feel laid-back there. It felt like show season was on and pressure's on and we're going, you know.
Did you see any loose horses?
No loose horses. Apparently that's only
almost
adventures.
We almost had a loose horse.
We did almost have one. Yeah, we did see a couple people fall off in
the
ring.
Was it Stefan who, after he left the ring and everybody was cheering enthusiastically, his horse put a bead on the gate and, like, took off like a bat out of hell out the gate?
So Stefan's horse comes in, does an amazing freestyle, ends up in second place, by the way, for the night. And as soon as he got to the gate, as soon as he went out the gate, out of the ring, his horse bolted right down the lane. So funny.
So there was no airbags, no people, loose horses.
There were a couple of really good bucks, though, let me tell you. Yeah.
Yeah, even during the competition, there was.
Yeah. There was. Those horses were a little.
Five-star
horses.
Does that make you better, Jamie?
It's a different world. I mean, that is just so funny. But I'll tell you what, and Jennifer, you can probably attest to this too. And Glenn, you know, you read these stories of these starving animals and these horses that need homes and this drama and that drama. And this is how I felt at Galway a couple weeks ago. Isn't it nice to go to a place where every horse is so happy and well taken care of? I'm like, there's not a hungry horse here. And when animals are not hungry, then I sleep well at night. And it was just so nice to look around and go, oh, my God, look at all these happy, well-fed, well-adjusted or decently adjusted horses at these places. And seeing that many horses and that many rings in Wellington would definitely make me feel like that. Like, oh, a bunch I don't have to worry about.
You know, especially at our job, because we see all the crappy stories every day. Yeah. So, you know, we kind of live it every day, and you get depressed. I mean, you do get depressed reading the news some mornings. But it was kind of nice to see that there is a contingent out there that's doing pretty well.
It was really cute. At one point, we were there bridle pass all over the Winter Equestrian Festival's grounds to get from place to place. And there was a gentleman walking a horse, obviously heading on his way to an arena to be shown. The horse was all decked out. And a common way for the grooms to carry all of their equipment is in backpacks down there. He had a backpack on, and don't ask me why, but attached to the backpack was a yoga mat, all rolled up. And the pony was heading, or horse, was heading down to do the charity event. So the horse was also wearing its superhero costume, which consisted of a feather boa around its neck. And the pony's just, it looked like a pony because the groom was so tall. The ponies or horses just strolling along, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, this is what I do every day. And the feather boa flying in the wind and the yoga mat batting him in the schnoz with every single step, and he bats it back like a little basketball. It was so cute.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome.
See, the superhero thing was fun. I mean, it looked like, and then those riders were going for it. I mean, they were going for broke.
Crazy.
They definitely had ego on the mind during the charity event. But what a neat event they do there and raise a ton of money for local charities. And Bellissimo was there. Of course, he's the guy who runs the place, and his family was there. And actually, you know, they've been having that fight with Wellington Council forever. We've covered that on the show here before. And there were a couple council members there, too. So I don't know if they're starting to get along better or what's happening, or they just had to make an appearance. I'm not sure which. But he definitely, you know, I got to say that, you know, I understand there are some locals down there that don't like the traffic, and it does get busy on show nights. And they're two-lane roads, and it gets tied up and that kind of thing. But, boy, the money it brings to the area is incredible. And tack shopping, Jamie, we hit a couple tack shops. We actually hit the new Dover store down there, and we also hit one called Tackeria. And Jennifer liked Tackeria because it's one of those old kind of tack shops that's loaded with stuff, and you can go through piles, and she likes those kind.
Oh, it was just wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling. It was awesome.
That's so cool. Well, I'm glad you guys had fun and saw how the other half lives, or the other 10% lives.
1%, probably.
The 1% of 1%, yeah.
I got one more story for you. We were we stayed in this Ramada, which was about a half an hour away. There's no hotels in Wellington that you can afford to stay at. And we were staying at this Ramada about a half an hour away, and it was pretty quiet. The first couple nights were fine. The room was fine. Everything was good. And the last night we were going to be there, we were leaving in the morning, and all of a sudden about 150 Harley-Davidson guys in their full colors pull in and park behind the hotel. And I was going, this could be a loud night. And it was Saturday night. So we didn't get back to the hotel that night till probably 10 o'clock, and all the bikes were still there.
I know.
All the bikes were still there. They were all still there. I said, this is going to be a loud night. And there were these bikers, these Harley guys, everywhere. And it actually turned out okay. We only heard two loud eruptions of swearing from the parking lot, which sounded like very drunk Harley dudes during the night. But otherwise, it was fine. And the next morning, I heard them talking in the lobby. They were there to do a funeral. You know how they travel to do funerals for servicemen? Well, they were there for a serviceman to do his funeral. So it was really cool what they were doing. And they had come from all over the South, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. They were there from all over. So really cool what they were doing and what they do for the servicemen. So good on them.
That's great.
Good on them. So. Well, let's do this. Let's take a listen to, we have an auditor, Leslie Covington, who did a book review for us. Of course, that's one of the benefits of being an auditor. For as little as $1 a month, you can become one too. Head on over to Horses in the Morning. Click on the banner in the middle of the page. It's easy to do. And as I said, for as little as $1 a month, you get a whole bunch of benefits. And one of them is we send you books if you want to, and you can review them. Well, Jennifer got to catch up with Auditor Leslie Covington last week, and she was reviewing the book Collective Remarks. So let's take a listen to that, and we're going to be back with more show and more fun here in just a few minutes. So this is Auditor Leslie Covington.
And it's Coach Jen here, and I'm here with Auditor Leslie Covington, who is going to do a book review for us. What book are you reviewing?
I'm reviewing Collective Remarks by Ann Gribbins.
Ah, a dressage name. Is this a dressage book?
It is a dressage book, sort of. I would say it's neither fish nor fowl, because I was sort of expecting from the title that it would be an autobiography or a memoir, rather than a how-to or a training book. but it's none of those things.
Now, wait a minute. We're running out of things that it could be, Leslie.
I know. That's why it's a little difficult. What it is a collection of, I believe, articles that Ms. Gribbins has written over the years for various horse publications. Then she's gone back and loosely grouped them together by topic, going through the different things that she has been in her life, a horse owner, a competitor, a trainer, a judge, dressage judge, and most recently the chef de keep of the U.S. dressage team, which she no longer is.
So maybe a collection of essays might be a more accurate description?
Kind of,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, more, and not even so much essays, just kind of observations and opinions.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's really hard to describe what it exactly is, and like I said, it isn't what I thought it would be, and I wish it had been one of those things.
Uh-oh, this does not sound real good.
It wasn't bad. Her writing, it sounds probably very much like she is. It seems like she's probably a very direct and to-the-point person, and her personality comes through. It's just that there wasn't enough there.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to learn how to do flying changes in this book?
No. Well,
okay.
No, you're not going to. The only thing you might learn is what the judge is looking for.
Oh, well, heck, who doesn't want to know that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. That is something that you do want to know. But that in and of itself would make a good book if she would expand on it. But there just wasn't enough of any one thing. She did bring forward several points. It was interesting in the context that with the changes that have been made recently in the USDF in the past few years as far as having a developing rider coach and a young dressage horse coach and sort of dividing that up to where it's getting more of a unified pipeline mm-hmm. for up-and-coming dressage to be noticed, mm-hmm. dressage riders and horses to be noticed. She had mentioned several times in there that she wished there was something like that, and then lo and behold, she does go back and editorially put in that, yes, these things have now come to pass,
mm-hmm.
which is good.
Yeah, so the subtitle of the book, Collective Marks, is A Journey Through the American Dressage Evolution, Where It's Been, Where We Are, and Where We Need to Be. So it's maybe a little bit more of that 60,000-foot view of the dressage culture in America over the years that she was writing for The Chronicle of the Horse, which is where these essays are drawn from.
Yes, I could probably see that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, you have a dressage background yourself, yes?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your dressage background yourself, because that'll kind of give me an idea of your point of view and where you're coming from.
Okay. I am very much the traditional middle-aged woman dressage adult amateur. I own one horse who is in a boarding facility. He is not a traditional dressage breed, being a draft cross. And bless his heart, though, at the age of 11, he got landed in a dressage environment, and he has just thrived. He's found his job in life, and he's very happy. I don't show, but I love the journey. I love to learn. I'm also involved with the Fort Worth Dressage Club. I'm an officer. I've been the secretary currently. I'm the webmistress and liaison with Region 9. I do some volunteering. I usually go to the regional meetings, and I'm a scribe and I have scribed at regional championships as well as local recognized shows and schooling shows. It's just fabulous. Anybody that thinks that they might want to know the inside view from the judge's box, that is the best way to do it.
So you're one of those blessed and underappreciated souls who makes the horse industry tick. Because
basically, yes.
Yes. And kudos. If I had the little button that I could push like we do on Horses in the Morning that would makes a little cheer, I would do that. I might have to insert that later. Because folks like you are invaluable. So it sounds like this book is interesting for, as an overall look, but perhaps the title is not controlling the expectation very well, and people might pick it up and assume that it's a how-to book, because the vast majority of books about dressage, let's face it, are how-to books, because
right.
The hallmark of any dressage enthusiast is their obsessive, compulsive need to learn.
Really? You found us out. Don't tell anybody.
Catch that in the bag, folks. Sorry. Spoiler alert.
Darn. Oh, dear. There we go. Our secret's out. Now we'll never get away again.
We'll never get away again. So who do you think is going, what type of person or maybe what stereotype might get the most out of this book, do you think?
That's a good question. I don't know. I suppose someone like me, although I am now aware that it's available as an ebook, I might purchase it as that rather than a physical book that I would want to keep on my shelf, because it's kind of more something that you would read and maybe pass on to one of your friends to sort of skim through and just pick mm-hmm. chapters that interest you at the time.
Yeah. I didn't get to read the whole book. I only got to read a number of excerpts from it. I kind of had this impression, it's not a coffee table book in that it's not a beautiful book. But I looked at that, and the excerpts I read, I went, you know, this is a really great book to have in your beach bag or on the coffee table when you have 15 or 20 minutes that you want to kick back and read something interesting. But you wouldn't want to sit down and read it like a novel. But
right.
And you, like you said, you don't want to reread it because it's not a how-to book, but it's interesting just the same. So I kind of thought of it, and I agree with you. It's a book you're going to read once, and then you're going to enjoy it, so you're going to pass it on to one of your horsey friends.
Yes, and, yeah, that's exactly right. It would be something good to have with you if you were going to the doctor's office or the dentist or something where you knew you were going to have to sit and wait for a while, but you didn't want to read War and Peace. So
right.
It's a good thing for that, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. So how many flakes are you going to give it? We have a six-flake bale available. So how many flakes of Timothy is it going to get?
Well, I think it's going to get 3.5.
3.5
flakes.
Only a half bale.
Her personality is such that it's interesting, that part of it. It's kind of fun to feel like you get to know her a little bit, but... No, I can't really go much higher than that. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we have real reviews from real people here at the Horse Radio Network.
That's the cool thing, isn't it?
That's the cool thing. So it's Collective Remarks, A Journey Through the American Dressage Evolution, where it's been, where we are, and where we need to be, a paperback. And it's by Ann Gribbins, and it's available on Amazon as well as from Trafalgar Square or Horse and Rider Books. I encourage you to check that out. And it's also available at your local tax stores, of course. You can get it in paperback or the Kindle version. And thank you so very much, Leslie Covington, for spending a little bit of time with us this evening before you go to your meeting, after spending hours and hours and hours in traffic to do this book review.
Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack, and feed supplier, or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens. It was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us a tag so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old, gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a cow pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did a hair analysis with a digital modem, and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's gonna breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was gonna have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed. Scroll me back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. There's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yeah, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
Cowhand.com by Dan Roberts. I just love that song. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen. We're all back in our studios today, and we are brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their all-natural supplements at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, I have a not-so-happy story. You know how we've been talking about the New York carriage drivers and how they're trying to be put out of business by the mayor and a bunch of the PETA groups and stuff there. Well, they've been having the same problem in Chicago. They're trying to get them out of Chicago. And unfortunately, yesterday, and now this is under investigation. There's no proof that any wrongdoing was done here, but apparently yesterday they had a fire at the stables that damaged the entire stables. They managed to get all the horses out, but it destroyed all 12 of the carriages that they use for carriage driving Old Town. And now the fire department says that they think it was an electrical problem. However, it is being investigated by the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms, and they're also being investigated by FBI, Chicago Fire Department, the Chicago Police Department Bomb and Arson Squad, and the State Fire Marshal. So, and the reason that they're doing that is they also found graffiti on the wall that said, "Freedom to the horses." So, obviously, with all of the controversy there in Chicago, they are really taking a close look at what was this was. Now, one of the carriage drivers who owns a lot of the carriages said, "I believe this is an intentional act. There's been a history of threatening letters from radical animal rights activists." And with the graffiti on the wall that said "Freedom and Save the Horses," obviously that had everybody thinking that there was more to this story. So, unfortunately, you know, those carriages run, just financially, they run $6,000 to $10,000 each. So you're talking about $100,000 to $120,000 of carriages that was destroyed, as well as the stables. Now, fortunately, there weren't any horses harmed. But, you know, if it was... And again, I don't know if it was, but if it was done intentionally, you're trying to save the horses, right? Why would you start a fire that potentially would kill them? Exactly. I just, when I read this story, I was so disturbed this morning.
I'm a huge animal person, and animal rights is a favorite thing of mine. And I as far as certain aspects of the world, and I'm a vegan now. I mean, my God, but. It's, you know, PETA has this ridiculous thing where they take animals and euthanize them because dogs are better off dead than with owners and being enslaved, as they call it. It screams something like that, and it's like, yeah, that would be dead. Better off dead. They're not. Ridiculous. That's so stupid. And, you know, they probably would have gotten away with it if they hadn't have been like, oh, let's... Paint on the wall. Awesome.
And it could be coincidence. It could be coincidence, but I'll tell you what. You're going to do stuff like that, and a coincidence like that happens, you got to be prepared for the consequences.
You go to jail. What happens if you went in there and spray painted, then somebody else came in behind you and burned it down? You are busted. I mean, whole story is just so sad and so ridiculous. But the good news is all the horses got out, and they'll figure out the rest of it, and insurance is there for a reason, and it'll be rebuilt, and hopefully they'll keep on going. Horses are meant to be used. I mean, my God, we can't just kill them. They'd be better off dead than pulling a cart. What? Are you kidding me? They've been doing that since the beginning of time. Man domesticated the horse like a billion years ago. So irritating. So irritating. Okay.
All right. You have something happier for us?
Okay. Now, you found the audio to this. And I'm hoping that this guy is the biggest dumb redneck ever, but you said he's not. There was a horse that got stuck in a bathtub. Okay. What state was this, Glenn? Where was this? Do you know?
California.
Here's California? I could have sworn it'd be Georgia, my home state. All right. So why was a horse trapped in a bathtub, Glenn? Was it because somebody had a bunch of garbage in their pasture and like a bathtub and some horse got stuck in it?
No, were using it like a lot of people do for water. It was their water tub.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, apparently a horse got stuck in the bathtub water trough. I don't know if it tried to lay down and take a bubble bath.
You know horses. You know horses. He probably said, oh, it might be cooler in there.
Yeah. So play the audio. I can't pass judgment until I hear
the audio. A horse stuck in a very precarious position. Fire crews in Orangevale had to help get this Palomino named Phantom unstuck from a bathtub. Photojournalist Darren McQuaid with the owner's reaction.
This place never surprises me. It produces all kinds of stories.
Now Charles Campbell has one more story to tell. It all started with a frantic phone call from his wife.
She says Phantom's fallen into the tub. Well, that sort of shocked me.
And he wasn't the only one who was shocked.
The 911 operator got a little confused because she says She called her back and she said, "Your husband can't get out of the bathtub?" And she says, "No, it's my horse."
We all know you can lead a horse to water, but forget about making him drink. The real problem is getting him out of the tub.
Got a horse in the bathtub.
Have you ever seen a horse in a tub before?
No, they said that they hadn't either.
You never know what you'll be responding to as a firefighter, but this was a first for Metro Fire.
Some lumber in their trucks, and they brought it out, and then they pried this out and basically just tipped the tub.
Phantom was able to escape unharmed, but it was a scary 25 minutes for the horse and his owners.
These are the kids. I mean, once your kids go away, your animals become your kids.
The tale of the tub actually started as a love story.
See what her tail's going up? She's in heat. She shouldn't be. She's an old lady.
Initially, Phantom lost balance and fell into the tub while checking out a potential mate.
Frisky, yeah, it's getting too close to Valentine's Day. I guess I'll have to get one of those old folks' tubs that has the door on it.
Wow. Well, you never know what kind of call you're going to get.
Old folks' tub that has the door. All right. Okay, my response is the same one as the girl. Wow.
The horse was frisky and fell in the tub.
Wow.
When did these horses getting stuck start making the news? I think that's a recent thing, isn't it? It wouldn't have been
a slow news day.
The fire department responds to dozens of calls each week that never make the news. How come these horses getting stuck in odd places make the news? I don't know.
God, I don't know. But I'm so glad they do.
You know what's funny though? The horse laid down. He was sideways in the tub. And so his butt end and everything was in the tub. And his front end was kind of out of the tub. All they had to do was just encourage him to get up. And he would all they did, actually, was they got behind the tub and they, cast iron tub, I think it was, and they just pried it up and the horse fell out. That's basically all it was. He wasn't like his foot was through the tub or anything. They just had to roll him out. So I don't know why it made the news, but it was funny.
Well, there's another interesting story that made the news apparently up in Ohio. And I'll post the video or I'll post a link to this on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, because I guess a horse got loose from the training track Northfield Park on Sunday, yesterday around 3. There was, I don't know if it was racing or what. These are standardbreds. So it's a horse and a little sulky. And there's somebody just had their camera out and videotapes this horse with a sulky trotting down the road and just goes like a rocket right by. And then you see the cop car, another cop car. They're chasing the horse down the road. I will post that, but the horse, appropriately named Quick Groom, made his way through the gate and on to Route 8. The Nemeth family was stopped at a red light in the car when they saw the horse canter by. Actually, I think it was pacing by, if you ask me. At first, we were laughing and startled, obviously, but then a little concerned for the people who were driving because it was going the wrong way on the road.
Wasn't following any of the road signs. Darn horse.
Nope, went on the wrong way. So it is. The horse was caught, brought back to the track, and is scheduled to race today. They don't mess around in standardbreds. They're like, trotted a workout.
That's right. It's just, you got a free workout. That's right.
Yeah, free workout.
Well, I can tell you what, there are a bunch of Franciscan monks. Yes, I said Franciscan monks, and I grew up Catholic. So when I saw this story, I just thought, there are these Franciscan brothers that were in Brooklyn, New York in 1858 that are now rolling over in their grave, because they started St. Francis Academy back in 1859. It was the first private school in the diocese of Brooklyn. So it's the first Catholic school there, and it was the first private school in Brooklyn. And it was open to educate boys of the diocese. It was all boys at that point. Well, they have the proud honor at St. Francis College in Brooklyn Heights of hosting the Bronies. That's right. The Bronies are coming and it's going to be PonyCon 2015, where all the bronies are going to descend upon this Catholic college and for 3 days for their little convention. So there you go. I love this article and this paragraph in the story. It says, if you're sitting there scratching your head right now, wondering what the is going on here, we suggest you check out the 2012 film Bronies, the extremely unexpected adult fans of My Little Pony. Sure, it's a film you might never be able to unsee again. I love that line.
Yeah. You can't unsee that. You can't unsee that film.
Oh, God, what do you think the monks are doing in their graves right now?
I know.
For some reason, I think the nuns that I knew growing up would not approve of bronies. I just don't think they would.
No, absolutely not. That is a very funny story. Oh, man. So, let's see. I have one more for you. Where is it? Sorry. I've lost my place. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right. Oh, okay. I found it. Okay. So, yep. just a quick racing story before we get to the next guest that we're going to have. Javier Castellano. You know, he's ridden, I mean, every horse. He's won the Eclipse Award this year. He's the reigning two-time Eclipse Award winning jockey. He reached his 4,000th career victory this weekend in the 10th race on Saturday. He had to get his 4,000th, he had to win 3 on that day, and he won 2 the day before. It's absolutely incredible what this guy is doing. And I was doing a little, like, kind of research on the history of Castellano, and he's 37 years old, and he launched his U.S. riding career in 1997 in Florida on a horse named Phone Man. He sits on top of the rider standings. He's won 51 races and $2,100,000 this year. That's insane. And the fact that he has 4,000 in just that short a time, I say short a time, but it's pretty short a time. It's not like he's 100, you know.
And he was at Gulfstream, right, when he did it? Down in Florida?
Yes. He was down in Florida in Gulfstream. And that's not a bad life. Like, you go north and south for the year, and he's riding the best horses that anybody could give him. I mean, these are Todd Pletcher's horses. So anyway, he's done a great job, and congratulations to Javier for his 4,000th win.
Next time we get down to Southern Florida, I do want to get to Gulfstream. I want to see Gulfstream. I want to get to that park.
Absolutely.
It's cool. I want to do that next time.
The other thing is, if you live in Alabama, you need to watch out. Did you read about this?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Since last August, reports of horses and mules being stolen out of 7 counties in northern Alabama is on the rise. Stolen Horse International, the netposse.com, has been working with everybody, but they're saying it could be the tip of the iceberg for horses and mules being stolen. I said, because of these counties' central location and proximity to the Tennessee line, they feel it's unlikely that these are the only equines that have been stolen. And so they're asking people to be on the lookout for anything suspicious around their barns or pastures. And they're telling everybody, you know, get the microchip. Permanently identify your horses and mules and notify Net Posse if you know anything about the stolen equines. And you can go look on netposse.com to go see all the reports. But who steals a horse or a donkey or a mule?
Unfortunately, that's really close to Mexico, too, you know, not too far. So that's one of the other problems down there is they don't have to transport them very far to even sell them for meat. That's sad. Well, yeah, and you know what? We did that. We have our horses done. We actually got our chips from Net Posse as well. They sell them right at netposse.com is where we got ours. Now, so they say you can do it yourself, but that's one big-ass needle, let me tell you. It seems to be about a quarter inch around wide, and we had the vet do it because we couldn't. Just couldn't do it. Jennifer's like, no way in hell I'm sticking my horse with that.
Absolutely, you have a vet do it. On a brighter note, have you guys heard of the Toyland? This company is making animal clones of your pet. If
no.
you have a dog that you love, they will make your dog into a stuffed animal. It is the cutest stinking thing I have ever seen. They make cats, they make dogs, they make puppies. I mean, everything from a weird-looking pug thing to the details on Dalmatian. I mean, it's really impressive. I think they charge for
help. Do they look like
help.
The dog? Do they really look like them? Or is it, yeah.
I'm going to post the link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and you will be amazed. They really actually do look like them. So let me see here.
Because most of these things, they say they're going to do that, and then you get a generic Dalmatian, you know?
They don't have a Dalmatian on here. I can't remember what the name of this dog is. That's the first thing. But it's really impressive.
We could get a Glory maid.
Yeah.
We did meet a couple of greyhounds. They had them down at the show on Saturday night, showing them off for adoption. That was kind of fun.
Oh, really? And,
yeah, because Florida is really big at the greyhound racing, so there's a lot of them down
Isn't
there.
For impressive? My husband just walked in. He looked at it. He goes, dang. What kind of dog is that? A blue healer.
Check that out. Well, let's do this. Let's take a... And does it say how much it is? I wanted to ask you about it.
Up to $300. That's an expensive stuffed animal. But they say it's cheaper
like,
than
you know
cloning.
You know what I would like to have done as a painting sometime? I think paintings, getting paintings done of your horses and your dogs and stuff is really cool. Because, you know, that's something you're going to cherish forever. I think I'd rather spend $300 on a painting than a stuffed animal, to be honest.
Well, they're saying that they run anywhere from $130 to $200, depending on the size of your pet. But they're saying that they're called cuddle clones. Cuddle clones are far cheaper than taxidermying your pet, which starts around $1,000 and goes up. Who taxidermies their pet?
I don't know, but I think that's gross, by the way. And I apologize to anybody that's done it and thinks it's the most wonderful thing ever, but I could not see my pet stuffed every day I walk into my house.
Jennifer, I got to know. I posted on Facebook. Has anybody taxidermied their pet? When, where, who, what, and why? I need the five W's.
There you go.
Who is it? What? Why? When? Where?
Other than Trigger, which we know about Trigger, but other than Trigger, yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that. I just don't think I could. I want to see him stuffed.
No. That's terrible.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break for a commercial, and then we're going to come back. I got an interview you guys are going to love that I did with a guy named Tony and Emily, and this really nice girl named Emily, at ADA, and the American Equestrian Trade Association was at 2 weeks ago. And he's from New Zealand wear, so you're going to love the accent, too. He's from New Zealand, and we talked very little about product and mostly about New Zealand. And it was a very fun interview that I think you're going to enjoy. And I knew it really fits with the morning show crowd. So we're going to, and then we'll have it. We're going to answer a question from a listener. Caitlin sent us a question. We'll answer that after. But right now we're going to hear from our good friends at Equestrian Collections and then this interview I did. Hey, everybody. Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network. I am with Debbie over at Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. What do we have this week, Debbie?
Well, this week I want to talk about the Ovation Airform All-Purpose Click-It Girth, although it also comes
long name.
Yeah, it also comes in dressage and other types as well.
Okay.
It's time to get in schooling. It's time to get back on the trail. And the thing about this girth that I find wonderful is that it has a spring load in the buckle so that it's so easy to adjust and so easy to adjust from the saddle, which oftentimes when you're on a trail ride, you're going to need to go ahead and adjust your girth halfway through, and this is so easy. All you do is reach down in the little spring form thing, puts the little click-it thing in the hole, and you don't have to get off and you don't have to worry about it. It's synthetic. It's hypoallergenic. All you have to do is hose it down. It's inexpensive. It's a schooling girth, but it comes in a lot of sizes that the other girths don't come in, all the way up to a 50 and a 60.
Wow.
Which you don't find. And I highly recommend it. My horse loves it. I had a hard time finding a comfortable girth for him for trail riding. I put this on it, and it's made a huge difference.
You've had a couple of reviews, too, on your website. Holly says this girth is awesome. Tightening or loosening it from horseback is so easy. The price is great, too. Love it. This is around $40, people.
$39.95.
Yep, and that's the Ovation Airform All-Purpose Click-It Girth, and that is from EquestrianCollections.com. Just hop onto Equestrian Collections and type in Ovation Airform Girth, and you'll find it. Hi, Glenn here, and I'm back at the American Equestrian Trade Association, and I have some guests here, and we always, when we attend these shows, try and bring in the best accents, and I have that today. I have a Tony with us and also Emily from New Zealand Ware. Hey, Tony.
How you doing, Glenn? Glad to be here today.
And Emily, I met early on in the show. She sought me out, and she is the most bubbly, smiley person I've ever seen, even first thing in the morning.
Well, thank you so much, Glenn.
And you're from Florida, so we love you.
Well, I live in Florida, but I'm not actually from Florida.
Nobody's from Florida.
Okay,
we all just live
true.
There. Nobody's actually originally from Florida. I don't think anybody's ever born in Florida.
No, I most certainly was not a North Carolina native, but been
now,
long enough.
Tony, though, you're from New Zealand. What
from
part?
A little town called Rotorua.
It's North sort
of
Island?
Middle of the North Island, maybe 2 hours south of Auckland. Very...
Tell us about the area. What's it like?
Subtropical, kiwi fruit country.
Is it farmland?
Farming, or? Forestry, fishing. The province is Bay of Plenty. That gives you an idea. There's plenty of everything.
Wow.
Tony, tell them about the farm that you had just before you came back to the U.S.
Gorgeous little farm, overlooking the ocean, about 100 acres. Got to sort of retire early, go down there, coach some rugby, watch my cows get fat. nice oranges, grapefruit, like northern Florida, but no kiwi fruit up on the hill. But
beef cattle?
Yes. Milking cows is not for this boy.
I don't see you being tied down twice a day to milking cows.
That's right. Yeah, we're on the same
there.
Page. that's right.
Too much discipline for that.
Right.
The other cows, just feed them every once in a while. They're fine.
It's gorgeous. It really is. You know, you get an appreciation. Been in the country for about 25 years, and the pace, the community, it's okay to step back in time a little bit. Like that, and it was fresh air for me. Fortunately, the schooling was quite poor down there for the children. So back we came a couple of years later.
So you live in the United States now?
We're back in Northern Virginia. Yep, we're in Cape May, New Jersey for a while, and just outside of D.C. now.
So now, tell us about New Zealand Ware. What does the company do? And
mate, that is a great question. I'll start by saying, I could probably give my mates down under a little shout-out. We bought the little business back from New Zealand. Very low numbers, very high quality, handmade sheepskin boots. Everybody's familiar with the Ugg sort of herd craze. This couldn't be the same model, but just the quality is just fantastic. And when you're getting
so the whole boot is sheepskin.
The whole boot is sheepskin. We put a little embossing in on the back there, and of course anything with the New Zealand tag on it is well received. That
right.
Wholesome kind of. Sort of Lord of the Rings movie kind of scenery.
It does
nice.
Kind of have that feel, you know, to it. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of actually when I saw the boot.
Actually, speaking of Lord of the Rings,
yes.
One thing I didn't mention to you earlier on was when we lived there, I signed up to be in The Hobbit.
Oh, you're kidding!
And
no,
they didn't pick you.
Well, they
weren't a Hobbit.
Well, no, are
you
kidding
too
me?
Too tall,
Glenn. Look at these ears.
For those of you listening, he was a rugby player, and
the ears show
just a little bit.
And you can see by the lack of makeup that I would need to be a...
They could save money with you.
Wait. To be a goblin. I was going to be a goblin.
You're a goblin.
Well, okay. And then the movie fell. It went Peter Jackson, and they put it on hold for 2 years. There was some sponsorship, some issue with Hollywood or something, so they delayed it. We moved back here, and then, of course, the movie
be in the movie.
But I was all set to go. That was going to be my claim to fame.
Right.
It's going to be in The Hobbit.
We've talked about that forever.
My kids thought that was cool. That was.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
I think that was
like,
awesome.
You know, grunt and
<That's funny>.
Stomp around like a rugby player, you know, right up my alley.
Right.
But the great, great little country. If anybody gets a chance to get down there, go for more than 2 weeks. You'll regret if you go for 10 days. It's not like an out.
It takes you 3 days to fly there in the first place.
A little bit of a hike. I tell everybody, you know, there's a reason it's tucked away at the other end of the world is because if it was in the middle of the Atlantic, it would be a goat trek. It would be 30 million visitors a month there, and it wouldn't be worth seeing. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so back to the products here, New Zealand wear. So we have the sheepskin boots.
And I have a question about those. So what makes those sheepskin boots, what makes those different than Uggs? Because I have a pair of Uggs at home, you know, I love them. But I have been drooling over your product, and you were telling me briefly about the differences, so I would love to hear what you have to say about that.
Number one, the sheepskin quality, the way that the skin's attained.
Merino
wool.
Now, what? Explain to people. People have heard that, you know, all along, and they've seen it in advertisements.
Right.
What makes merino wool so special?
Number one, it's full of lanolin, which is so if you're allergic to wool, you're not because it's full of the natural oil. The wool fiber is extremely durable. 80% of the world's commercial carpet is made from merino wool.
I hate to sound really stupid, but is it the type of sheep? It's a different kind
merino
of sheep.
Merino sheep. Yep. Yeah.
That's a great question. I had no idea.
I was afraid to ask.
It's actually the most perfect sheep because it's a high country animal in the summertime, and it grazes on tussock and kind of weedy.
Wow.
Doesn't really
have
any.
To feed the suckers and you get
when the snow levels come down, it moves down into the low country. They get lambed and docked and shorn and then released, and away they go again. So it's a very,
low
very...
low maintenance sheep.
Very low maintenance, great yield, very, very workable. A lot of the garment industry uses merino wool as a basic. We blend with the New Zealand possum, which is a fur, which is the third warmest natural fiber on the planet. Arctic fox, polar bear, and the New Zealand possum works as a thermo. So that matched with the merino wool. The ladies' fashions especially are just fantastic. We have gloves and hats and scarves made of the same product. They do very, very well. Very classy, very warm, very durable. A little pricey, but you know, you get what you pay for. Same with the boots. You know, anything that's worth making, you're going to pay for. But you get the. They last for years.
Now, I think it's worth noting, though, that the New Zealand possum is nothing like the possum that we have here in the States. Because when,
it's
when
not
I
the
was,
ugly rodent we find dead
it,
on the
it
road
is
all the
not,
time.
It is absolutely true. Not. In fact, when I was first, you know, drooling over Tony's products, I was looking at gloves and socks and whatnot, and I saw 40% possum. I was like, I don't think this is a product that I want to wear. But then, you know, I
could just picture Tony picking them up along the road, scraping them up.
No, just throw them in the back of the truck. Not a big deal.
We'll make some gloves out of this one. We're onto something here, dear. Whoa. Come on. Head on back. Double back there. I think I saw something.
But they're actually very, very cute. And when Tony said that, I did not believe it. So I promptly Googled. And what I found was this cute little... It almost reminded me of a koala, but not quite. I mean, they live in trees, right?
Right. Very nocturnal, very big eyes, very very masculine.
Because ours are ground dwellers,
right.
You know. Yeah.
Nothing you want to make it.
They're a totally different it's a different animal. It's very, and of course their fur is so plush.
I was almost afraid to ask when she brought it up, and I was like, I don't want to know.
Your little possum?
Yeah. Or it looks like a big chinchilla, like a giant chinchilla.
Yeah.
And you know how soft chinchillas are? Okay.
But
same thing.
To get the Americans over that stereotype, because that's the first thing. We have a few laughs about it, but it's like, okay, let's get serious. This is what it is, really, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Well, now, we are in the middle of winter, and it's chilly, and there's one thing that horse women like more than almost anything else, and that's socks. My wife must have 1,000 pairs of socks. And you guys do...
I need her number.
you guys do something called the Dream Socks. And so tell us about those.
Dream Sock is a brushed merino wool sock. Basically, the process of brushing wool is probably one of the most boring processes known to mankind. They can't be mass-produced, which rules out China. We have a very small manufacturing plant in Hickory, North Carolina. Three ladies have their machines. And
when you say brushing, what do you mean?
It's a very slow process. It just claws away. On the outside of the sock is the acrylic and nylon, which takes the beating, and then the wool stays on the inside. And then it's brushed. And when you brush wool, it becomes, the term is brilliance. The more you brush it, the more brilliant. And when you've got a fantastic...
And you mean actually like brushing your hair, brushing?
Yeah, but with very fine metal claws that pull the merino wool straight. Basically, you're straightening the wool.
Is that what makes it your socks so soft?
Yeah, exactly. So, and the lanolin
it's
properties...
It's like a cloud,
of course,
almost.
It would be like walking on a cloud wearing those socks.
So go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, to get a visual, it looks like, you know, a normal wool sock on the outside. The inside of the sock is, like Glenn said, it looks like a cloud. It's fluffy. It's soft. It's something that you want to put on your feet on, you know, a cold winter night and curl up on the couch and watch a movie. Like, they're so comfortable and so soft.
But, you know, bed sock, right, my daughter's shrink is down for a riding boot.
Awesome.
A hunting boot, ski boot, anything where you wear two pairs of socks.
Yeah.
Now you just need to be at one.
Ah.
And there's all kinds of polka dots and pinks and greens and blacks and blues. And so, you know, they're kind of trendy. They're great gifts, but they're very, very warm. They're also double as a diabetic sock.
That makes sense.
One in three Americans.
Cold. Yep.
One in three. And it's I didn't know the stat. That was, and I'm like, wow, okay. Because we sell that property, and you can add lanolin, which keeps the feet from cracking and drying because the cold. And the wool fibers, they hug to your feet, so the sock doesn't come off in bed. John Hopkins is a big customer of ours.
See, now, so that's interesting, because I was just thinking that I thought it would come off easier in bed because it's so soft it would just slide off.
Yeah. Now, when you have each wool fiber attaching to your leg in some capacity, very, very delicately, because it's wool, they stay on. So
kind of a neat thing.
And, of course, they make wonderful gifts, too. They're called the disappearing sock. Daughter comes home from school, socks, boots, kind of miraculously disappear. Mom's come to the market. Guess what? You're right. I know. Thank you. You've got a nice
you
lady
your
seven
two
right here.
While you're here.
Thank you very much.
So where can people find these?
www.nzware.com or at the Palisades Market in Georgetown, Sunday morning, 9 to 1. cold months only. I'm like a bad mushroom. You know, when it's cold, I come out. I blossom. So I'm like the perfect vendor.
For those that are 99% of our audience that are not near Georgetown,
right.
it's nzware.com in case you didn't understand his lovely accent. So nzware.com. Thank you so much, Tony, for stopping by. We appreciate
Pleasure,
it.
Pleasure, Glenn. Anytime. And serious, get your wife to call me. I'll
All
take
right.
care of it.
All right. Good.
We'll talk socks. Thank
right.
you, Glenn. We
All
appreciate
right, thanks.
it.
Well, I did manage
Glenn.
To get a pair of socks, Jamie, for Jennifer, and she has them on right now. Jennifer, do you like the socks, the brushed wool socks?
Ooh, they're like knitted
yeah,
heaven.
Yeah, they're really soft. Yeah, they're like really soft.
Don't have your wife call that guy. I was listening to him just like, inside that accent.
He's a lot
yeah,
of fun,
I tried
too.
To,
he's carrying on all weekend.
Yeah, when I typed his number into my phone, it said, this caller's been blocked. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Weird.
He's funny. He was carrying on all weekend. We had a great time with him. Well, we are running out of time here, and we do have to get to our listener question. Caitlin posted a question on our Facebook page, and she said, thank you guys so much for the show. I'd go crazy with boredom at work without you guys. Well, thank you for that, and we appreciate you listening. But I have a question for you, mostly Jamie, I guess. Thanks to your show, I am looking at getting an air vest. Well, good for you. I've lost my confidence on my Arab after we moved to a new barn, and he's gotten way more spunky than normal. The air vest seems like a great confidence booster, but I'm lost on what brand to get. I'm torn between .2 and Helite. Anyone have any suggestions or any insight on either brand? Any help is much appreciated. When you're spending $700 for a vest, you do want to make sure you get the one you really want. So you use
yeah.
the .2, right?
I do. Just on a side note, there is one that's about $300 to $400. I can't remember
okay.
the name of it. But in kind of my world, in this kind of thing, I almost feel like you get what you pay for. So I would probably stick with one of these two. I have the .2. I love it. It's incredibly popular in the eventing world. You really don't see many of any other brand vests. So I don't know why that is. I mean, is it like a status thing? I don't know. I just bought the .2 because it was the only one, and they were kind of the first. So I use .2. It's very popular. It deploys very quickly. I've seen lots of people be saved. I've seen lots of people have their lives saved by these air vests, and it started with .2. So in my opinion, I really like that one. I don't know much about Helite, but Glenn does. What?
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about that. I've never used it. We blew Emily up on the show last week with a Helite vest, so we know how it works that way. But do you wear your vest over your traditional safety, you know, traditional vest, safety vest?
I do, and that's only because I am too poor to buy the one that has both. .2,
now,
actually, that is, you have to wear a crash vest. When
right.
you're eventing, but it's optional to, yeah, that's the foam one. It's like, looks like a bulletproof vest. You have to wear that one. And then people option to have the air vest on top of it because the air vest really helps you from rotational falls and helps with a lot more stuff. So they did make now, they call it the hybrid in point two, and it's more expensive, but it's both. So you only have to wear one vest as opposed to two in eventing. I don't know how that's going to help you with your air. Maybe you don't want a crash vest and you just want the regular air vest, or maybe a crash vest is a good idea. I use the Charles Owen vests. I really like those. So that's my opinion. I use both. I drool over people that just have that one vest. So someday. Someday I'll have the hybrid.
Do you ever wear, I know Emily, you know, Jumping Emily, she actually has a air vest, and she wears just the air vest for schooling without the crash vest. Do you ever do that? Do you ever just put the air vest on when you're schooling and not the crash vest?
I haven't. No, I figure, you know, I mean, if I'm cross-country schooling, I'm going to wear both. If mm-hmm. I am just regular show jump schooling, I tough it out, you know, like I have worn my crash vest. Like when I first started jumping jet, I wore just the crash vest. But a lot of times people have a hard time, just this is something to think about, wearing the air vest. If you fall off and that air vest deploys, it is a very loud pop, and a lot of people don't like to wear the air vests when they're schooling the lower senses, because they're usually schooling something very green. And say you're taking a horse up to a small jump and it refuses and you fly off and there's a big pop in the horse's face, some people think that that might cause some problems for that horse moving forward in their jumping career. Being like, oh, it's like they heard a gunshot as soon as they stopped at a fence or got up to a fence. So that was more Barb Crabo's school of thought. Like, she's like, I won't wear my air vest unless I'm going prelim or higher. And I was like, well, you're crazy.
Whereas Emily, you know, only does show jumping, and she wears hers for training the babies because she's broken ribs and doesn't need any more broken ribs.
So it just depends on what's going to work for you. I haven't used an air vest by itself.
Now,
but
I will tell you this.
The
.2 air vests look like an air vest. It looks like you're wearing an air vest. I mean, they're pretty distinctive, and they're not exactly attractive. The Helites, the difference with the Helites, they've actually were the ones that first manufactured these air vests over in Europe. They're just coming to the United States now. I just had a conversation last week by email with the lady who was in charge of that, the nice French lady we had on the show. And they're just getting into stores now here in the United States. So they haven't even been available here before. The difference with the Helites is they are built into a nice-looking soft-shell jacket or a nice-looking soft-shell vest.
That's cool.
So it doesn't even look like you're wearing an air vest. It looks like you're wearing a very nice, like, Ariat kind of jacket. And
but
the neat
I
part is...
I didn't see those online. I Googled it, and they look the
well,
same.
Well, because they're not here
cute.
Yet. You have to actually go to Helites' website, and you'll see them. They're just coming out. But the nice part about it is, Jamie, they're zippered in. The vest is zippered into the jacket or the soft shell vest, outer, and you can change the outer shells. So you just zip it out and you put a different color outer shell on, so you can actually wear different colors outer shells with your air vest. So for those people who are just wearing the air vest and not having it over a foam vest, they can actually wear it and not, as Emily said, and not be made fun of so much in the show ring down in Wellington. Because people are always making fun of her, you know, so she can actually wear this.
How dare you?
I know, exactly. How dare you try and look safe? Well, the one thing I can say about the Helite, I've only ever seen it used once last week when we blew Emily up on the air. It is faster than the .2s. It's a fraction of a second faster. And here, when we're talking about these things blowing up, we're talking fractions of a second. It's not 5 seconds to 1 second. It's 1 second to 3/4 of a second. It's very fast. And the other thing about the Helite one is they're quieter. I don't know what they did, but it did not make as big a pop as the .2 one you have. And it really was surprising that it wasn't as loud as I thought it as the .2s were. So they've
well,
improved
yeah,
that
again,
technology
you're
a little.
Looking, you're talking about the reason it's quieter is because it's inside the jacket. But what's cool, what she, as a listener, if she's wanting to buy one right now, you can't get those right now. Right. See, if you want to wait and get that jacket thing, that's so cool. I would love to have one of those. But, yeah, you have to, they're not here yet. So
And actually, Alex Smith just posted on our page, one of our listeners said, .2 licensed Helite air vest. If you go to their website, they show both .2 and Helite, so they are the same technology. And actually, it's the other way around. Helite manufactured the .2 air vests. They were the manufacturer for a lot of the air vest people. They were the original ones that did it. So, but anyway, that's our, you know, either one of them is probably going to save your ribs from breaking. So, yeah. That's the bottom line is something in this case is probably better than nothing. So take a look at either one. If you're into style, you might want to take a look at the Helites when they start hitting the stores, because they really are pretty because of the outer shell. But Jamie's used it, her point too, and looks, it saved her ribs a few times. So have you ever actually used it, fallen off in an unintentional dismount?
I refuse to answer that question. So
I
want
to ask you, because
so.
I don't know the answer to this, and then we'll wrap the show up. How expensive are the CO2 cartridges?
About $25 with the shipping.
Each.
So if you come off your horse and it deploys, 25 bones.
I thought
but
it was like $25 for six.
No. And the problem is they can't airship them, so they have to ground ship them, so it's more expensive. But I bought a four-pack from Bit of Britain, and I think it was $99.
Whoa. Boy, you don't want to be wasting those babies, do you?
Oh, no, it's a joke. It's like sometimes when you accidentally kind of, like, slide off your horse, and they're like, damn it, that wasn't worth $25. It's kind of a joke. Like, oh, that one was worth $25 right there, you know, when it really saves you. Or you just kind of slide off the neck. You're like, God darn it, that wasn't a $25 fall.
Anyway, all right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And if you have questions that you would like our you know, unprofessional opinions on, then just drop us a note or post them on Facebook, and we'd be happy to answer. We'd be happy, and even if we have to lie, we'll help you out. No problem.
Make something up.
We can make it up. Yeah, no problem. All right. Thank you. Wasn't there a certain news anchor that does that anyway? So, I mean, why shouldn't we? You know,
Oh gosh, what a nightmare!
I saw him the other night. He was show jumping, Brian. He was show jumping. He won the class, by the way.
He won the Grand Prix.
Yeah, he won the Grand Prix.
I gotta go to PonyCon 2015. So I gotta get going.
You gotta get your costume made, though. Get the sewing machine out. I want to see your costume. All right.
I have a sewing machine. Sure.
You think the nuns are gonna line up the hallway as they're coming in and smack their hands with rulers? Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't know. You dug too deep in that story for me. When you start giving history of school
all right,
and
we'll
all
that. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Who do we got tomorrow, Jennifer? Endurance Day.
Endurance Day
with Jan tomorrow. So we'll see you tomorrow. Jamie will be back on Wednesday. Have fun, everybody.
Bainer to Gallon. Have a good day. Get an air vest. Go to PonyCon. I'm going to PonyCon with my air vest.
There you go. That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect. Blow it up a few times, too.